ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment and shenanigans alike, welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
And I'm John O'Lobster. 20 years ago, American cinemas were rocked by one of the best overall years in movie history, and horror was no exception. Now Legends Podcast is celebrating the Legends of Halloween 99. The second highest grossing release of 1999, sitting at $672.8 million worldwide, was M. Night Shyamalan's supernatural horror drama film, The Sixth Sense, starring Bruce Willis and Haley Joel Osment. The film spent 5 weeks at number one in the U.S. box office, was nominated for 6 Academy Awards, and introduced the phrase, "I see dead people," into the pop culture lexicon. The film's final twist, which became a Shyamalan trademark, kept audiences going back to see if they could spot the clues, which also translated to strong VHS sales and rental figures when The Sixth Sense was released on home video. Now, Legends Podcast is ready to tell you Bruce Willis's secret. He's wearing a hairpiece the entire movie.
You know, he had given me hope. I'm looking at his hair going, maybe I could grow mine out and it could look as good as Bruce Willis's, because he's got the super bad receding hairline here, but no, it's a hairpiece.
It's ironic, but we can call it a widow's peak.
Ooh, burn.
Yeah, spoilers.
How long has it been since you've seen this? 10, 15 years at least?
At least, and I have to say, and I was hoping Wing would be here to talk about this too, given that he worked at a video store, but the spoiler for this movie, did you see it not knowing or knowing?
I think I saw it the first time. I mean, there was a buzz about it, but I can remember not being spoiled on this one. This was like the first thing everybody... That was back, remember, when people were like decent about spoilers before the internet?
Right. And I don't know with this one, because I don't think I saw it unspoilt. And I don't know, like, definitely as I was watching it... Like this time, I was like, how could anyone not get this? There are so many clues throughout the movie.
But they could also be seen as, while they are pretty overt clues, they could just be seen as a lover's quarrel where he didn't show up to dinner on time, so she's getting the bill. Like little shit like that, it could be sloughed off as, and this was also like the first big... Got you fuckers.
Right.
You know, like this was the thing that made everybody go back and go, okay, well, now we can really pull the wool out from people.
I don't know. Like, again, maybe I'm jaded. Maybe I'm trained to study movies so well now that, like, I really tried to suspend my disbelief. And I was like, oh, he gets shot in the beginning of the movie. I had forgotten most of it, right?
Right.
So... He gets shot at the beginning of the movie. He's lying there, and then you fade out. And the whole time, no one interacts with him except the boy. And they establish all the things that you kind of figured out, like how his powers work. The ghost can be associated with the place where he's in, or they can travel and find him. Because you get that at the end, the girl... comes and finds him, and they're like, oh, she traveled a long way to find you. And the whole time, and the camera, so when the famous scene when he's in bed and he's like, I'm ready to tell you my secret now, I see dead people, the camera is steadily zooming in on Bruce Willis, like, get it.
I don't know. I mean, in 99, this shit wasn't even on my radar, right? To pick up those clues. I was a 19-year-old idiot moviegoer, and I didn't, like, I didn't pick up on a lot of movie grammar until I started doing this podcast or listening to podcasts and having people, having Wing break it down. Chekhov's gun or, you know, Chekhov's getting shot in the stomach in this movie. I mean, now I am...
He always wears the same clothes that he had when he got shot.
But I mean, I was not trained to look for shit like that 20 years ago.
It's always getting cold.
But that was with him, though. That was the boy anytime a ghost was around. But he,
no,
Bruce
he made
Willis
the wife cold.
Oh.
Olivia Williams from going all the way back to Rushmore, our other, our legend of 99 we talked about at the beginning of the year.
Just the way this is shot and the way that it's set up. And
it's a great movie. It's a little slow, but...
This is still pre-Matrix, or the year of the Matrix.
Right. This is the year of the Matrix. This is a supernatural movie with almost no special effects, or probably no special effects.
A couple. The breath, maybe, and then, come here, you want to see my dad's gun, some prosthetics.
Well, that's, yeah. But I mean, like, CG. I mean, like, stuff done with computers.
Oh, then maybe just the chill.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think there's really anything here that's computerized. Maybe Bruce Willis's wig. They put that in with CG.
Seriously, you ruined me a bit here because I was really looking at that going, I could probably grow my hair like that, have a little comb over in the middle. I already do, a little longer on the sides.
Mm-hmm. That's why he got shot.
I know.
The hairpiece was so atrocious.
So was the other kid in the beginning supernatural too?
Yes. I think that's implied.
This is the first time I've picked it up.
So, another Shyamalan trick is in the film, whenever there is a supernatural element, he uses the color red in this movie.
Okay.
The red doorknob.
Oh, yeah,
The red balloon, the red tent, the red carpet, and the red numbers on the tape player. When he keeps turning it up, the numbers get redder and redder, and then it actually records the voice of the ghost.
Okay.
Now, how can he play the tape recorder if he's dead? Okay, right?
Magnets.
Or can he hear the voice of the ghost and no one else can? So we don't know. Like, we don't know.
Well, I mean, he's clearly dead.
He's super dead.
Right.
Like, a year.
Right.
Been dead.
I mean, she's moved on, right?
Yep.
Hey, that's my wife.
She's dick.
So great.
So, I think that Vincent was like Cole and could... believed it was a curse, drove him nuts, whereas Cole, the end of the movie, realizes his purpose is to help people, to be a ghost whisperer.
True.
Like Jennifer Love.
I mean, you're going to be at a lot more peace. He stopped being afraid of them as soon as they stopped being terrifying.
Yeah, he was like, they scare me sometimes too, but they just want to be helped.
Right. I mean, and the first time you watch it and it all comes unraveling there at the end, you're like, whoa.
Yeah, I imagine it bakes your noodle, but I think it was, I don't know if I ever got to see this as a virgin.
Okay.
I mean.
Yeah, I know. Fresh.
Unspoiled.
Untainted.
Yeah.
Yeah, I honestly don't know if I did, but I don't know if I saw it in the theaters, I should say, but I'm pretty sure I can remember not being spoiled for it, for whatever that's worth.
Now, the question is, does it hold up well enough on its own? And this, I think, is the crux of analyzing an M. Night Shyamalan movie. Does it hold up well enough on its own that the twist is irrelevant?
I think so.
Okay.
Because I mean...
So what M. Night Shyamalan movies can we say do that well? Unbreakable?
Unbreakable, this...
The Village?
Nah.
Signs?
I'd say maybe Signs. I haven't seen The Village. See, I haven't seen half
the
of these in a while.
The twist in Signs is so dumb.
But still, you don't need it.
Right.
I mean, swing for the fences, Bobby, or whatever it was. I mean, that doesn't... The movie's interesting without that.
Okay.
I don't know.
I thought it was that the aliens were allergic to water.
But isn't that all things?
Isn't it all things?
All alien movies, they're either allergic to water
like
or are germs.
War of the Worlds, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's something so benign they come to a planet two-thirds full of water or
yeah.
with germs.
Yes. And they screw up.
Always. Hey, we've defeated most of the population. Let's go outside and take a big deep breath without scanning.
Uh-huh. The Happening?
Which one was that one? The plants that talk to each other?
Yeah, the killer trees making people commit suicide. Got to run away from the wind.
I think I saw that once.
It's a dumb movie.
Yeah. I want a Good Day of the
Super
Triffids
dumb.
Movie. That's what I want.
Okay. And then later on, Split.
Lady in the Water.
I think Split is where he comes back and he does a good movie, and then you realize it's secretly a sequel to Unbreakable.
Because there is, I mean, is there really a twist in Split other than...
It's a closet sequel to Unbreakable?
Yeah, or that, you know, it's like slightly supernatural because he makes a 24th beast personality or whatever it is. I mean, there's nothing really, ooh, it's an old-timey village in a blank, yeah. or, you know, spoiler alert, by the way.
I love The Village, actually. I really like that movie.
I'd like to watch it again because I watched on a horrible bootleg. I'd like to watch Lady in the Water because that one was lame and intriguing.
Sure. Yeah. I think The Village works because of the soundtrack.
Okay.
I don't, and the character acting, because it's got William Hurt, Sigourney Weaver.
What?
Did I even watch this? Yeah. No, it's a deep cut, right?
That's where it's like the old-timey, like...
Yeah, it's there. You think it's colonial times,
okay,
and there are these monsters in the woods, mm-hmm. and the girl is blind.
Oh, Joaquin Phoenix, Adrian Brody,
yeah,
Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
She's blind, and eventually they realize that in order to save, I guess, Joaquin Phoenix, right, he needs the medicine, and she has to go down the road... where you find out they're in, like, spoilers for The Village to follow. They're in, like, a nature preserve.
Right.
And it's really modern times.
Yeah, there's, like, I mean, how would you not ever see a plane that flies over? I mean, come on.
They have a rule. No planes.
Liar. 44% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. No, it wasn't well received. But I like it. I like it for the atmospherics.
Well, I like The Postman, too, I think, with what you call it for... Jeez, horrible.
I also like The Postman with Kevin Costner.
We can maybe make Wing hate it someday.
I prefer, if you're asking me Kevin Costner apocalypse movies, I prefer The Postman over Waterworld.
I think I can... While I like some of the Waterworld setup, I don't like water that much, so I gotta agree, The Postman is a better movie. Yeah.
So back to
Sixth Sense.
We're talking about The Sixth Sense, and does it hold up on its own as a movie without the twist?
I knew the twist, and I still enjoyed watching it, not just for this cast. Yeah.
I think it holds up. I think it holds up because Haley Joel Osment is so good in this, and I think it holds up because it keeps surprising you with the... way the ghosts are presented.
It's subtlety is what it is. It's, you know, the I found my dad's gun or this or that. There's like little hints.
Like, but they tell you, like, that's the thing. Like, they're like, oh, they used to hang people here.
Right.
And then you see them and you're like, holy fuck, that is disturbing.
Well, I like it that the teachers and shit don't believe them. They're like, no, this was the courthouse. And that's like, that's what they did back in the day at the courthouse, you dumb shit.
They hung people.
Right. He's a, if you didn't have him, Haley Joel, I always thought it was Osment, but Osment, if you didn't have him playing that, I don't know at this time who you would have gotten that would have had weight. I never heard of this kid before this movie either.
Yeah.
And he did well.
Yeah, I guess they wanted somebody who looked a little scarier.
What do you mean? Like, well, good son scarier?
Yeah, they wanted like a kid with dark hair and, you know, he's such
like
a...
like the Omen.
I mean, he's, yeah, he's like Ralphie in A Christmas Story. He just looks so innocent.
Well, it's like that, when they did The Good Son with Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah.
That was still creepy.
But this one, I feel like they went with him because he just seems so wholesome. Like, right after this, he does Pay It Forward, that movie where it's all about, like, doing good things for people.
I don't remember that.
And that's
doesn't
like
sound
such,
my
a,
alley.
Such a, no, but it's such a Haley Joel Osment type thing. Like, when you look at him, you're like, oh, he's supposed to be in the, like, Christian morality movie, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Where they've, you know, he's got to buy shoes for his dying mom, and they sing the song, right?
And then it's a morality tale inside of a morality tale.
Right. Whereas this is like fucking ghosts, scary as shit, but you got to be nice to them and help them. Help the soul be at peace.
Yeah, and I mean, it's they don't, the ghosts and the whatever, they don't beat you with it. It's just in passing all the time.
Well, sometimes they beat him.
Yeah, the kid's locking him in the fucking whatever, milk chute thing.
Yeah, in the slave punishment box.
Yeah, not cool, kids. No. Not cool.
It's because of the red balloon. You'll float, too.
See, I thought there was going to be a crossover, and then I was wrong. Thank God.
How about Toni Collette in here as the mom? I totally forgot she was in this.
What else would I know her in? I mean, the mom...
I mean, she's a prolific actress. Next, she'll be in the movie Knives Out from Rian Johnson.
Well, I'm excited for that. We've been talking about that, but I don't... I probably know her from something from the 90s. I'm bad with stuff.
And this is Bruce Willis in a non-action-y Bruce Willis role. Does it surprise you that he was cast in this? Because I could see him in Unbreakable when he ultimately becomes a superhero. But
couldn't
for this?
You see, this is like if Moonlighting was a little bit lighter.
Okay.
Same dude from Moonlighting in my eyes, just 15, 20 years later.
Hairpiece,
exactly.
Speaking of the moonlight, if he doesn't have that hairpiece on, it'll blind you.
Hey, don't make fun of his baldness.
Oh, okay.
You got any more notes for this delicious movie?
I mean, creepiest ghost? It's got to be head blown off kid.
Yeah, it's
right?
Got to be him for me.
When he turns around.
Because it's so, he's just like, hey, come on, you want to see my dad's gun? And then right as he turns his head, they do that kind of like horror movie tone.
And then you're like, oh, shit.
Right, oh, fuck, this got really real.
The scene at the beginning when the mom goes back in the kitchen and all the cabinets and drawers are open.
And the creepiest part is not a sound from the kitchen.
Right.
So, like, it's not like he got up quick and did it.
Were you looking for something?
Right.
Pop-Tarts?
That's very Zool, Ghostbusters.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, you like that? You like that nerd or whatever he says? How's that touch with the arm around you?
This movie definitely is informed by, like, subtle horror moves that you can do. And... once again, so we talked about found footage. They use videotape in this as well, where it's the mom poisoning the daughter.
Oh, yeah.
You just see her get the Pine Sol and pour it in the oatmeal.
Now, don't tell me it tastes funny again. I don't like to hear that.
Yeah. Oh.
So creepy. Yeah. Because, I mean, you know people are horrible like that.
Oh, yeah. And then, oh, the young one's starting to fall ill. Oh.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even catch that line.
Yeah, they're at the funeral. Before you even know, they're like at the funeral, and then somebody's like, oh, yeah, so sad, and the young one's starting to get sick.
Oh, not good.
Yeah.
Want to play a game? It's a movie rating game. Here's how it works. I rate your movie. If your movie is good, you take one step towards legendary. If it's bad, you take one step back towards abysmal. Want to play? Lobster, for the sixth sense, are you going legendary?
I see good movies.
Legend of its time.
M. Night Shyamalan gonna sleep with the light on.
Cult legend.
In the sickest sense.
Awesome.
They don't have meetings about rainbows.
Entertaining.
Grandma says hi.
Mayable.
Keep moving, cheese dick.
Forgettable.
Stuttering Stanley.
Abysmal.
I see bad movies.
Spring Breakers D&D.
Stir of Echoes.
Hey! With a side of nostalgia.
I don't know why you like that movie.
I don't know. I have to go back and rewatch it because it's probably going to be horrible.
Yeah.
With a side of nostalgia, guilty pleasure, tingle, barf, tears.
With a side of Pine Sol.
Ooh.
Right in there, right in the soup. Wow. This is to me first. I got to go Legend of Its Time. I have to say, gonna sleep with the light on. Because it definitely creeps you out. I do remember the promotional campaign for this, even though I don't think I saw it until home video. But I remember just how much they played the commercial, where it's just the kid like, I see dead people. And I'm like, geez, kid, we get it. You see fucking dead people.
I didn't even remember that they gave it away in the commercial.
Yeah. No, it's all up in the commercial. And then it's like, oh, well, he sees dead people and ghosts are weird.
And he got shot in the beginning.
Yeah, they don't give any of that away. But I do believe that this is a legend of its time. Again, the amount that it made at the box office is crazy, considering it... was a $70 million movie, and really, or no, a $40 million movie.
Wow.
And then they added a lot of advertising, I think, to get it, you know, recognized. But $672.8 million worldwide is insane. And no wonder Shyamalan went on to do basically the same thing again and again with different sorts of themes. But so he did comic books, he did Alien Invasion, he did period piece, and then people kind of got wise to his tricks. But it's really interesting to me that he was able to make a career out of this. And it was only later, when he really hit the toilet and then has like bounced back as well, with Split and Glass being pretty substantial hits, I think. So
yeah, Glass a little lesser so, but
yeah. So I think definitely Legend of Its Time. Interesting enough that the number one and number two movies in 1999, number one, The Phantom Menace. Again, fucking ghosts.
All right. I think I got to go in the sickest sense. I'm going to go cult legend because it is a legendary flick. It is a legend of its time, but this is, like I said, this is the first one that I can remember people like either spoiling it for people or like, oh my God, you have to go see this. I don't want to tell you. I don't want to tell you what happens. Like, you just got to, it's like, it was like the cult of spoiling or not spoiling.
You have to see it for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, and everybody knows about this now, even if they haven't seen the movie, you know, or at some point in time, my grandma borrowed the movie from myself or my mother. I can remember them going, oh, have you seen The Sixth Sense? It's just, you know, it's got to be a cult legend for that. And with a side of Pine Sol, because the young one's getting sick now, too.
Yeah.
Last word on The Sixth Sense.
Ghosts.
Hairpiece.
Definitely. Definitely the ghost of his former hairline. The Widow's Peak. Uh-huh. Beef, what time is it?
No. Time.
All right, so box office Joker continues to laugh all the way to the bank with a record second weekend. Flop alert, Gemini didn't go see Will Smith times two, man.
Oh, I heard it's horrible. I heard it's too close. I didn't hear it's horrible. I heard that it's so close to the Uncanny Valley at some points in time with the face swap thing that it's just weird. So, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I want to see it, but...
I've heard good things about The Addams Family, which came in at number two.
Okay.
But I had no desire to see Gemini Man.
Gemini Man.
Sad news. Robert Forster, who was a character actor from Jackie Brown, nearly 200 movies, also from Rochester, New York, where I used to live, kind of a local legend up there, passed away age 78 this past weekend.
That's too bad.
On the day that his latest film, El Camino, a Breaking Bad movie, was released.
I was actually watching it that day. It's sad.
That's a bummer. So I was sad to see that, but there's some great interviews and tributes that have flown forth to memorialize him, and that's good. So
yeah, he was always interesting in his roles.
All right, speaking of things flowing forth, Disney has opened the taps and has revealed everything that you can watch on Disney Plus starting on day one.
They're trolling, right? They got to be trolling here.
I mean,
they have
to
be.
I hope that you use that.
I didn't. I'm an idiot.
Coupon code that I was warning you that I told you about, because how much good stuff is there?
It's
staggering.
It is absolutely staggering. It's like 10 pages of shit on io9 right here.
Yeah, so to give you an idea, they tweeted it out a title at a time and it took 3 hours.
Yeah, they're trolling, and I'm okay with that. I'm going to get back from Jamaica, and I am going to order this and the other one, and just know I'm going to spend $12 a month.
Is there anything on that list that you're especially, like, that put you over the edge in terms of, like, oh, my God?
No, this list, it was more the, I told you, the Nat Geo, the Star Wars, the Marvel, Pixar. I mean, it's those four taglines plus Nat Geo. That's...
Yeah.
Mandalorian too. I mean, for crying out loud.
Yeah, well, I really have to say, in addition to the original content, so those of you who know me know that I'm a bit of a Saturday morning cartoon nerd.
Gargoyles.
Gargoyles and all of the Disney afternoon shows. So DuckTales, Tailspin, Chippendale Rescue Rangers, Darkwing Duck, Goof Troop. Even soft spot in my heart for the Mighty Ducks animated series.
Nice.
About alien ducks who come to Earth to defend us. So all of that is going to be on there. Plus, because they have Marvel, you're getting all of the Marvel Saturday morning cartoons, X-Men the animated series.
That's cool.
Spider-Man, Fantastic Four, Iron Man. Like, to go back and watch those again, that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be nice to have all of that at our fingertips. The problem is one of our friends...
Time.
Yeah, one of our friends tweeted out he just wants extra hours in the day, maybe 8 days a week.
Yeah, just extra time to watch it. Oh, and the movie, which I'm going to insist that we cover on this podcast next year, The Rocketeer.
I'll give you a solid maybe. Probably.
Okay.
I wouldn't mind watching it again. That's one of those that I saw when I was... When did it come out? 90?
When it came out.
88, something like that.
Yeah. Absolutely. There's lots of movies on that list that people are like, wait, what? This movie was real?
Right.
I feel like there's a lot of stuff that you might vaguely remember from your childhood that you're like, that was real. That wasn't a fever dream.
I was
from
just
that time
gonna say
I
had, a fever dream.
Had chicken pox or whatever, because you know you watched it.
Well, that's how I was when I first saw the long cut of the movie Aliens.
Uh huh.
Because we had a bootleg VHS when I was a kid, and I burned that one out, and I had to buy another one, and they cut out maybe like 4 minutes. And I'm like, there's supposed to be other scenes, and everybody thought I was crazy. And then when they re-released it, I was like, ha, I told you. Anyways.
Yeah.
Fever dreams.
I just, the amount of stuff on there is, granted, you read the list, and it's definitely geared towards the younger you.
Yes.
But there's so much nostalgia in that. And even if I don't go back and watch every episode of every show from my childhood.
You have them.
Just the fact that I can say, like, you know, this happened at, I think it was maybe Thanksgiving. We had some family over. It might have been around Christmas. And some family and their little kids. And we just put on Animaniacs to, like, keep them occupied, right? Because it's all on Hulu. And who sits down like a sucker and gets sucked in to watching frickin' Animaniacs? This guy right here.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, that's great.
So now I'm going to be like, hey, guys, let me show you a fun little show you're going to love. It's got magic. It's got Vikings. It's got
DuckTales. DuckTales, Three Men and a Baby, The New Adventures of Winnie Pooh, Willow, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Oliver and Company, Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, Turner and Hooch, Cheetah, The Little Mermaid, The Simpsons, DuckTales, The Movie, Treasure of the Lost Lamp, Tailspin, The Rescuers, Down Under, Three Men and a Little Lady, White Fang, Shipwreck, The Rocketeer, Darkwing Duck, Beauty and the Beast, Newsies,
Get the fuck out!
Honey, I Blew Up the Kid, Goof Troop. This is like one of 50 pages right there.
Yes.
So there's enough to go back to. You may not watch it all the time.
If I can get one kid hooked on gargoyles, or, you know what I mean? Like, that's my mission.
I'm sure complete. You'll be able to.
Yeah. All right. So, speaking of things that never die, Walker, Texas Ranger, headed back.
He's got the hair for it.
He's doing it. Jared Padalecki at the CW will be doing the reboot of Walker, Texas Ranger. Also, as we're talking, I am playing with my Gargoyles Funko Pops while we're chatting, but I'm so excited for... I don't like to do this and talk about merchandise that's coming out,
but... Yeah, because they never give us anything free.
Right. Anyways. We don't get it for free. We don't get paid to say this, but Black Mirror is releasing Funko Pops. The two that I'm most excited for are the ones from the USS Callister episode.
That's the episode, one I'll get for sure.
But they're also doing the San Junipero couple and hopefully more.
Junipero, that's totally secondary, but I love the outfits that they chose for the San Junipero ones.
Yeah.
I don't know what the third one is.
Yeah, I hope there are more, but I love... Oh, I think the third ones are from the Miley Cyrus robot doll one. On the most recent season, which I don't think I've watched yet.
I haven't watched it either. Damn, we're horrible people. Maybe that's why we don't get merch.
Yeah, we don't keep up with the new stuff.
Hey, we had a whole podcast dedicated to that show.
It's true. Venom 2, a little bit of update. Carnage.
Electric Boogaloo.
Venom 2, Electric Symbiotic Boogaloo. Carnage will be joined by Shriek in the sequel. Shriek is another of the symbiote villain characters, this female symbiote.
I mean, the first thing is kind of what I was going to say. Do they need another villain in a villain-centric movie?
I think if you're going to do Carnage, it needs to be Carnage, all Carnage.
All the time, right?
I mean, one might even say Maximum Carnage.
Maximum Overdrive. No.
I mean, that's what in the comics it was Maximum Carnage.
Oh.
And I think now they're doing Absolute Carnage, but that's a vodka.
No, bourbon. Sorry.
Netflix is taking aim at Hallmark with a holiday movie release schedule. So this is one thing when we moved, we got rid of cable. And one thing that we miss is leaving Hallmark movies on 24/7. Now, this holiday season, I said, we won't need to. We'll have Disney Plus, and we can just run that shit 24/7. But my wife believes that a good sappy romance movie starring some C-list actors and actresses is must-see TV.
Yeah, I guess if it's on in the background when you're doing shit, it's not bad. But
aren't they doing one with Rob Lowe? And I feel like that's... He's not... Is he C-list? Kristen Davis? Well, okay, Kristen Davis from Sex and the City and Rob Lowe. I guess that feels a little...
Yeah, that's pretty C or D now.
Yeah, okay. All right.
You know, but whatever. It's... So what? They made some movies. They're going to be fun or something or not. I mean, you'll have titles on, like
cause...
Let It Snow, okay?
Uh-huh. Sure.
Klaus, which we talked about last time. Or no, this is...
Right.
No?
Maybe. We did.
The Night Before Christmas. Get it?
Ooh.
Yeah, it's Vanessa Hudgens and somebody else.
Okay, cool.
And Holiday Rush. Don't forget that. Your racing movie. I'm just kidding. I don't know. The Christmas Prince. The Royal Baby. Merry, Happy, Whatever. That sounds like my Christmases. Yeah, I am interested in none of those.
Okay, well, you've heard it here first. Yahya Abdul-Mateen and Neil Patrick Harris will join the Matrix 4.
I knew Yahya, but Senor Mr. Harris, really?
Yeah, yeah. News broke today.
Okay, you know what? Whatever. Give me my fucking Matrix. I don't care. I want it. And I like him, so.
The rumor is that Yahya Abdul-Mateen, who you will know... From, yes, as young Morpheus. You'll know him as Black Manta in Aquaman.
And he was an imposing character in that, so I would like to see him as a young Morpheus.
Yeah, and I wonder if Neil Patrick Harris will be the first one or the one.
One of the ones. One of the prior five, was it? Or prior six?
Sure.
Because wasn't Neo the sixth?
Yeah, whatever Colonel Sanders tells you in... Part two.
He's Captain Washed Out Colonel Sanders because it's all washed out.
Zoe Kravitz will play Selina Kyle, Catwoman, in the Robert Pattinson led The Batman.
I'm okay with that. It's gonna be a very pretty bat cast, but I'm okay with it.
There'll be some attractive younger people.
I'm okay with it.
Yep. Martin Scorsese, according to Kevin Smith, Martin Scorsese directed the biggest superhero movie ever made when he directed The Last Temptation of Christ.
So great.
A little sick burn from Kevin Smith there.
Did you see Scorsese then double down again this week and said something about not being cinema and whatever?
It's not really news. I just like it when Kevin Smith...
Oh, no, I know.
Who's usually pretty genuine, mixes it up.
Yeah, because he was. He's like, you know, let's be honest, I love Martin Scorsese. He's a great filmmaker.
Jesus is a superhero.
Yeah, he's like, but you made the biggest one.
Yeah. And finally, let's check in with another Kevin. Kevin Feige, named Chief Creative Officer of Marvel. So that's a promotion from he was president of Marvel Studios with over now he'll have overall creative direction, Marvel storytelling and content creation across mediums, including publishing film, TV, and animation.
I like that they created, you know, Chief Creative Officer of Marvel. I hope he's got like new business cards that say like Cocoon. CCOOM.
I described this to someone earlier today as Chief Entertainment Officer, and I was like, wait, no, that's not right. That makes him sound like a cruise director.
Right. No, this is legit. I've created everything.
Yes. All the new stuff goes through me, which is good, I think.
Yeah, they need a sounding block or a filter that's going to go, that's okay, we could work with that, or that's crazy, or not yet. We need to have a first Guardians before we can do something really nuts. Never mind.
Do you want to dump some trailers?
Yeah, I could flush this thing. It's almost breaching the water.
Okay, so Daybreak.
Post-apocalyptic.
Teenage TV show?
Yeah, I really like post-apocalyptic stuff, and I don't think I can get behind this. I might try it because it looks like it's free, right? Netflix?
Okay. It's a Netflix show. This is Daybreak. grown-ups have been turned into zombies. And this is sort of a Mad Max future, but teens. Okay. I liked this, but then I watched the trailer, and I'm not making this up, for Walking Dead Universe, which is a post-apocalyptic, zombie-ridden teenage
Walking Dead story. Universe looks way better.
Yeah. Walking Dead Universe is the working title. It doesn't have a title, official title yet. I think they're trying to come up with something better than Walking Dead The Younglings or whatever they said at the end of the trailer. But so both of these are teens in the apocalypse.
I mean, the apocalypse has to have angst as well.
Sure. What, it might even be the angstiest of all subgenres.
Daybreak looks obviously more kitschy and goofy because it's some nukes went off and all the parents turned into zombies or all the adults or whatever it is. So I'd like to know if when the kids get like 30 or whatever, do they become zombies? But I think the Walking Dead universe one is more interesting because it's in the same universe we know and they like... they've grown up with, these are kids that have grown up with the 12 years of zombiehood. So all they know is world with zombies. It's not just thrust upon them.
All right. So one of the ways I've started to judge these trailers, because we watch so many of them, is by the last joke. And so the last joke in Daybreak is actually carries over from the beginning where he swings the sword and it gets stuck in the guy's
finger
hand. Yeah, it gets stuck in his hand.
Bone.
And at the end, he's like, yeah, exactly. He's like, it's stuck in the bone. And the other guy's like, bone. And then that's the last joke. And in Walking Dead Universe, she pukes on the zombie. And at the and then she's like, yeah, and that's what you get.
I mean, they better have been barfing on everybody in Walking Dead for years.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay.
Eli. Haunted house, bubble boy.
Yep.
I don't know.
Creepy girl following you down the hallway.
The Shining with a bubble boy and a...
with medical experiments and ghosts.
I don't know how to feel about this. It doesn't look very... I don't know.
Feels like an episode of Black Mirror, if I'm being honest.
And it'll probably seem really long, too.
Yep.
The next one's kind of interesting, and I wasn't interested till about halfway through the trailer when I realized what was finally happening.
Reprisal?
Yeah. It's like some sort of family matters, mob family or something.
Yeah. And so it's about a woman who is left for dead by her own brothers and goes seeking revenge by instigating a gang war. And so it's a lot of like Sons of Anarchy meets Hatfields and McCoys meets like Riverdale. It's very like American Gothic.
I like that the it's the female coming back for ass kicking, you know?
Sure. I like that. And Ron Perlman is in it.
I do like him. I do. Yeah. I do like him.
Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. This is the one trailer I ran out of time and didn't watch, but I figured I've watched all of Marvelous Mrs. Maisel so far, and I don't think you've watched any.
Zero.
So, thoughts?
I mean, it looks like another trailer to another season of a show I haven't watched, but
good.
It looks interesting. It's you told me good things about the first two seasons, so...
I like it. I like it, especially when Chuck shows up. It gets good.
Chucky?
Chuck, Zachary Levi.
Yes, I do like him. You could Shazam. I was just gonna say you could have said Shazam, dude.
Shazam. Jeez. Shazam.
Shazam.
Doolittle.
You know, that
I'm
was
getting
Eddie
tired
Murphy's
of
gig.
Fucking talking animals, not really looking like animals. Hold on, Lady and the Tramp. I'm gonna get to you in a minute.
This was Eddie Murphy's gig. So I don't know why.
Well, this
Robert
was Eddie Murphy's gig, and there were other Dr. Doolittles before him.
Yes, I know.
But Robert Downey Jr. affecting an unconvincing British accent.
He feels to me like he's he stumbled through the old Doctor Who wardrobe, and he got drunk, and he decided to do a horrible British accent
in front of a green screen the entire
time. With some
time.
Animals. I mean, that's... I seriously couldn't get out of the Doctor Who closet idea the whole trailer.
Yeah, yeah. He's like... They're like, Robert Downey Jr., you just saved the universe as Iron Man and became the highest paid actor of all time. What do you want to do next? Well, I'd like to be British and talk to animals.
Okay.
Onward.
Again.
Literally and figuratively, onward.
This is Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood or whatever, where they try to...
I like to call it Questing at Bernie's.
Or that. I mean, because, I see it. I'm not going to pay
second,
to see this.
Yeah.
I will rent this maybe or Netflix it, but this isn't...
Yeah, it's going to be on Disney Plus, right? Like, immediately.
Well, see, how is that going to work?
Well, the next four, Doolittle, Onward, Jungle Cruise, and Lady and the Tramp. Lady and the Tramp is going directly to Disney Plus. But all right, let's Onward. I'm into it. I'm into the conceit, and now that they gave us more of the plot, I'm a little more on board.
Okay.
With my half reanimated father.
I did like when he shrunk his brother.
Yes. But Jungle Cruise, other than the eye candy aspect of it.
I love Emily Blunt, and that's the only thing that makes me want to see it.
To be blunt, that's why you want to see the movie.
Yeah, I mean, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson is fun. But I don't know if I need a 1900s jungly cruisy thing in my life.
This is based on a ride, right?
Is it? Is this a fucking...
Isn't Jungle Cruise a ride at Disney?
I've never been to a Disney property in my life.
All right, so...
They won't let me or something.
Jungle Cruise is a riverboat attraction located at many Disney parks worldwide, namely Disneyland, Magic Kingdom, Tokyo Disneyland, and Hong Kong Disneyland.
So pretty much everywhere.
So it's basically Pirates of the Caribbean. Let's make a movie out of one of their rides.
Okay. Moving on to the...
Would you like some more unconvincing animals that talk?
Sure. Why not? Let's... For 500, Alex.
Lady and the Tramp on Disney Plus... I am not going to lie. This movie got me in the feels, this trailer got me in the feels, and I am ashamed.
I will say that at the end, I felt a little weird because I have seen the other one. So there was something going on. I wouldn't say full feels touches, but I was
made your hair stand up.
Yeah, I'm like, why do I want to kind of see this horrible thing? But I don't. I don't. I can't.
But if you have Disney Plus, because you want to watch Goof Troop.
See, you should be the fucking salesman, dude.
Yeah. You want to watch Goof Troop, you'll like this.
Yeah, no, this trailer's weird when they're talking.
Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers. Woo.
Stop it with that. Now I'm going to have to fire up my old VHSs.
Yep. All right, so that was news. That was trailer dump.
Next time, Legends Podcast. Legends of Halloween continues, and we celebrate Canadian Thanksgiving with Thanksgiving. It's a really low-budget Thanksgiving horror movie, one of my friends
and
requested.
Why are we watching this?
Because one of my friends requested it, and they'll probably never listen to the show, so we're just torturing ourselves.
Do they listen to the podcast already?
Yeah, but they'll...
Okay.
Yeah.
So one thing I should mention... is if you are listening to our podcast and you would like us to review a movie that you believe is legendary, you should
or
let
not
us,
even legendary.
Or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do a whole month of this. Let us know. Tell us either on Facebook, on Twitter, email us at I only know the fake one that we give out.
Yeah.
Stargate Pioneer at gunnageek.com, which I don't believe is even an actual email address anymore.
Find us at Legends on Twitter or wherever.
Yeah. That's right.
The Fezbooks. I mean,
yeah,
we'll review. We're out we'll there. Review. Listen, you listen to us talk about crap.
I would say Legends Podcast on Facebook because I monitor that, so I know
you have a good chance of it getting through.
Yeah,
to us.
I get it. I get an alert on my phone when somebody posts to it. So I that have, one, I yeah,
I have zero hope in the movie's quality for next week. I'm just saying it should be something horrible to talk about.
Oh no,
about,
it
though.
Looks terrible.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Oh, it looks awful.
Yeah. So,
but thanks, Killing.
So you know, whatever. It'll be fun.
Yep.
This has been episode 443 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef saying. I don't know what I'm saying.
I'm John Lobster saying, I guess next week we're talking turkey. Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com, where you will find all our contact information as well as other shows. You can also visit legendspodcast.com, where you will find our complete archive. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Legend Stream Canada or Gunna Geek. No infringement is intended.